This is Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney. Seniors can really benefit from learning how to use computers well, but there are many other ways technology can help aging adults. Scientist and entrepreneur Richard Caro believes tech innovation has the power to actually change the way we grow older.
And to really push off the time at which, you know, things like how well you can walk and how well you can talk starts to decline.
Caro is the CEO of Tech Enhanced Life. It's an organization that researches and evaluates technology for seniors. Here's KALW's Jen Sheehan again, speaking with him about some new developments in home safety for aging adults.
You've become something of an expert on something called activity tracking home sensor systems. Can you talk a little bit about what those are?
Yeah, it's a really interesting space. It's also part of a trend that's often called the Internet of Things, where you have lots of sensors or other objects that are all interconnected, usually via the internet or some other kind of wireless technology. And so this class of products that I and a colleague of mine, Mary Hulme, have been analyzing a lot, they involve little, hopefully very unobtrusive sensors that companies have developed. These, they go in a person's home and they all talk to some kind of central base station, and they're designed to notice whether the person living in that home is doing more or less what they normally do or whether they're doing something radically different. So they do things like notice how many times a day the fridge got opened, or notice whether the person's car keys are at home or not. They try and make something sensible out of the patterns they see and simplify it to the person's okay message or the person's not okay message that they send to, for example, the child of that person. You know, some of these products are really good for one persona, we called them. We came up with five different personas representing different types of life situations.
Can you describe one of those personas, like, and what type of system would be good for them?
Yes. So the one that I'm very interested in is, we call them the go-go personality. You know, an example would be a sort of lady in her 80s, lives alone, maybe her husband passed away, very sprightly, on the ball, you know, mentally alert, but just starting to get a little bit frail physically. Not very, but a little bit, you know. But because she's alone, you know, you start to worry about, well, what would happen if she fell and hurt herself at home, no one noticed, or she went out to the theater at night and, you know, had a car accident on the way home and no one noticed, she just never came home. You worry about things like that. But for a person like that, you know, they don't want something that really gets in the way of their having a good life. You know, this is not a kind of medical product. This is more of a, it needs to be a very unobtrusive type in the background thing.
Right.
And there's this trade-off between privacy and how perfectly, you know, you're keeping an eye on things.
Right.
And so there are some products which really are in the background and they're not very noticeable and they're nicely designed, they look pretty, and they just kind of notice things like, well, you know, did the fridge get opened this morning? I suppose it's normally opened, you know, for some reason was it not opened? Or did this person not come home by some particular time at night, you know, like two in the morning or something?
And that would be measured by motion sensors?
Well, they all vary. Some of them do work by motion sensors, and some of them work, for example, by little sensors that you would put on an object, such as on the fridge door, which give a signal when the door's moved,
I see.
But they're not actually seeing motion in
the house. Because I can imagine that for some people, like you said, there's a trade-off between privacy and safety.
Absolutely.
Or connection with other people, that it could feel kind of creepy to know that something is tracking your movements.
It absolutely could. And so, you know, some people don't want any of these sort of things, right? But at the opposite end of the spectrum, there's someone who might have cognitive impairment and might really ideally not perhaps even be living at home by themselves, but they're there for, say, financial reasons or because they just love their house. And in that case, you really need something that keeps an eye on some things in a more precise and perhaps intrusive way. So people worry about things like, did this person leave the stove on and, you know, is it going to burn the house down? Did they forget to turn the bath off and therefore it, you know, overflows and floods the basement? And so some of these products measure all of that. And those are much more complicated and a bit more intrusive too. But, you know, for someone like that, you're really making the choice between Are they even going to be able to live at home? And so you talk about the creepiness factor, but in a way, it's maybe it is creepy, but it's helping them live where they want to live instead of having to go live somewhere else.
We did a story here on Cross Currents about Paro, the robotic seal. Have you heard of that?
I have.
It's the seal who comforts Alzheimer's or dementia patients.
Yes.
It's used in all sorts of rehab settings.
Yes.
Well, as part of our story about Paro, the seal, we spoke about the ethical issues that are involved that might come up around this type of technology. And we spoke to a virtue ethicist who mentioned that there's an issue about perhaps lessening our own humanity when we delegate these kinds of caretaking tasks to robots or to technology. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a really interesting and complicated issue. And people do bring that up a lot in the context of these sensors we were just talking about and things. And what I've come to feel the answer to that is that if you have a loving, caring person that's there 24 hours a day, you can't beat that probably. But many people don't have that, or they can't afford that, or the person that they can afford isn't necessarily all that loving and caring. And so I think these technologies should be thought of not as an alternative to a person, but as something that either allows one caring person to help more people, you know, a sort of extender or a range extender or a power extender for caregivers, or as an alternative to sitting at home staring at the wall by yourself.